Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the 71st Psalm, verses 1 through 6. As I read this psalm, I invite you to sort of hear it from the perspective of an old friend talking to another old friend, one who has given them guidance and support along the journey, and is asking once again for help, for insight, for wisdom, for comfort from this long time confidant and friend. With that as a backdrop, listen for God's word to us today. In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, a strong fortress to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hands of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel. For you, O God, you are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The prophet Jeremiah is also known as the weeping prophet. The scripture you'll hear is a part of his call story. Many of you may find this scripture familiar. And so listen to the word of the Lord from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. I will read from the Common English Bible version. These are the words of Jeremiah, Hilkiah's son, who was one of the priests from Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. The words Lord came to Jeremiah in the 13th year of Judah's king Josiah, Amon's son, and throughout the rule of Judah's king Jehoiakim, Josiah's son, until the 5th month of the 11th year of King Zedekiah, Josiah's son, when the people of Jerusalem were taken into exile. We're going to pause here for just a second because you may have already tuned me out because of the unfamiliar names and pronunciations. But there are three things in these opening verses that I don't want us to miss because they're important to Jeremiah's call story. Jeremiah is a PK. He's a priest's kid. Keep that in your mind. God initiated the dialogue with Jeremiah that follows. And third, Jeremiah is called by the Lord at a time when there's a high in Israel's history. The religious reforms instituted by King Josiah are in full swing, but Jeremiah's call lasts through the downfall where both Israel and Judah have fallen and they have been taken captive to Babylon in the north and Egypt in the south. So that's what we need to know from those three verses. So we'll pick up at verse 4. The Lord's word came to me. Before I created you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I made you a prophet to the nations. Ah, Lord God, I said, I don't know how to speak because I'm only a child. The Lord responded, don't say I'm only a child. Where I send you, you must go. What I tell you, you must say. Don't be afraid of them, because I'm with you to rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I'm putting my words in your mouth. This very day I appoint you over nations and empires to dig up and pull down, to destroy and demolish, to build and to plant. And so along with the reading of Psalm 71, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. If you pray with me. God who has created us and called us, we pray that you would breathe into us the truth of your word, nurture our faith by the promises of your word, and anchor our souls in the wisdom of your word. Help us, O God, to hear, believe, and obey. Amen. According to biblical history that reveals God's creation of and relationship with humankind, there is a universal call to faith and service. And it permeates from beginning to end. Over and over, the Lord calls us to love God and love one another, to serve God and serve one another. However, there are accounts like this one where God has chosen specific individuals or groups to perform a task or take on a role or function. And the people God chooses to fulfill obedient acts of service can sometimes be counterintuitive. David, a young shepherd boy, chosen to be king of Israel. Sarai, an aged, barren woman, designated as the mother of God's chosen people. Or Paul, a violent murderer of Christians, called as a follower of Christ, preacher and teacher. Or Mary, a young girl with no wealth or power, chosen as the mother of the long-awaited Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so while David, Sarai, Paul, and Mary were chosen for roles and tasks that are beyond what we can imagine, the call of a prophet is in a category all by itself. You see, the role of a prophet was to speak for God. To speak for God. As mouthpieces for God, prophets conveyed unwavering calls to covenant faithfulness. Prophets received and declared words from the Lord that were brutally honest, judgmental, and threatening much of the time. And consequently, the role of prophet was thankless, dangerous, and lonely, to put it bluntly. But categorically, the most important aspect of any call story is that God initiates. You see, God says to Jeremiah in no uncertain terms, "Before I created you, I knew you. I set you apart. I appointed you." Jeremiah is God's choice, not because of his priestly family necessarily, but just because God chose Jeremiah. And one commentator points out that these verses in Jeremiah are a familiar passage that many of us have claimed as our own. And one reason for that is probably because the belief that God knows us so intimately and loves us anyway, it strengthens a person's sense of self-worth. Now, that being said, this actually runs contrary to a world where the lives of so many exist in places that assert a much different reality. I can hear a whole host of people treated as less than, giving a hearty amen to that reality. I can hear them. People like immigrants who are in detention centers and don't have the provisions that are needed, not even close to adequate. Or I can hear people like those experiencing homelessness who can't get a job without a permanent address and can't have a permanent address without a job. Their lived reality does not align with the reality of their intrinsic worth as those who bear the image of God. But alas, Jeremiah. Jeremiah is appointed as a prophet to the nations. The Israelites are bordered, Babylon on the north and Egypt to the south, both of whom aspire to conquer them. So being a prophet to the nations is way out of Jeremiah's comfort zone. That's another aspect of being a prophet. No comfort zones allowed. And so now that we're clear that Jeremiah's call was unequivocal and undeniably a call by God, there was an enormous task that Jeremiah was called to, and the environment that he was called to perform that task was tumultuous at a minimum. We must take note, with all those facts. Jeremiah was 12. He was 12 years old at the time of his call. Let that just sink in a little bit. Today we bless backpacks of children and youth who are closer to the age of 12 than many of us have been in a really long time. Take a good look at them. Did you see them? Remember them sitting here? Or maybe they're sitting next to you? Take a good look at them and think back. What was life like when you were 12? And for the children, you can just think about your life right now. But where were you living? Who did you live with? Who were your friends? What did you like to do for fun at 12? What responsibilities did you have at 12? For me, I was living on the south side of Chicago with my mother and stepfather. I walked to my neighborhood school with my friends. I loved school and learning. I watched a lot of television. And I actually had to get up and turn a dial on the TV when I wanted to watch another station, like one of 10 stations that we had. I was a member of the Campfire Girls. I took piano and swim lessons. Doing my homework and cleaning my room are about the only responsibilities I remember. That was me at 12. Many of our children and youth today, especially those among us, live lives dominated by portable technology. And this technology drives exposure to the entire world in all of its beauty and in all of its misery. Many of them are social media savvy. They're privy to both in-person and cyberbullying. They also have access to activities and events that cater to a wide range of interests and abilities, some things that weren't even around even a decade ago. But no matter what picture comes to your mind, the reality is this, is that depending on your country of residence, your race or ethnic group, your family structure, your social or economic structure, your gender, the life of a 12-year-old has billions of possibilities. Some are designed for growth and success, but others reek of oppression and danger. And sometimes both scenarios exist within blocks or miles of one another. Now, to be honest, I'm not exactly sure what the life of a 12-year-old in the land of Benjamin looked like for Jeremiah. As a priest's kid, though, history suggests that he was probably steeped in the traditions of the Israelite people. Jeremiah likely knew the stories of prophets before him. And maybe that knowledge was a part of why he objected to his call. Maybe he knew too much. But Jeremiah isn't the only prophet called at a young age. Samuel was approximately 12 years old when he was called while serving in the temple under Eli. Gideon also complained to God that, no, I'm too young. But of all the calls that we see, especially in the Old Testament, Jeremiah's is strikingly similar to that of Moses. In Exodus 3, when Moses is called at the burning bush, he's around 80 years old. And Moses has experienced quite a bit of life at 80, and that's putting it mildly. And yet, he still objects to his calling. In fact, Moses objects not one, not two, not three, not four, but five times. And this fifth one may sound familiar to you. He says, "My Lord, I've never been able to speak well, not yesterday, not the day before, and certainly not now since you've been talking to your servant. I have a slow mouth and a thick tongue." So evidently, age is not a barrier to objecting to God's call. You see, there's a level playing field for those called to service. Our inadequacies, whether they are real or only perceived, they don't matter. Because God chooses us. God equips us. God is present with us. And God strengthens us for God's call. This idea is reinforced by the words of Psalm 71 that Steve read earlier. It says, "For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. And so, Jeremiah's age actually doesn't matter. God is free to call into service as a prophet or any other call, persons of any gender, any age, any social economic status, any education level. But when it comes to the age factor, it seems that maybe you already know around here at Trinity. Maybe I'm preaching to the choir. Because I was reminded this week that the 2020 vision statement for Trinity, the number one thing listed at the top of this vision statement says this: to create space for children and youth to fully engage in the life and leadership of the congregation. In worship, I see acolytes every week, even children ushering with their parents. There are youth elders who serve on session. I actually had the pleasure of working with one before I came to Trinity, Caroline Reed. She and I worked together on the youth track for the next church elder symposium in January. Youth involved here at Trinity. Who knows what other ways our children and youth have been and will be called by God to serve as an integral part of this congregation and our larger denomination, to serve with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love. You see, Steve and I both had the privilege to witness the passion and creativity of youth who, from two different Presbyterian denominations, they led and participated in the youth triennium at Purdue University. And I tell you what, if you ever thought that the church was dead, you need to volunteer at Triennium and you will know in no uncertain terms, the church is alive. The church is not dead. But I digress. Each and every one of us, you see, we play a role in encouraging them and supporting them along the way. As a group and individually, we can support or encourage the Jeremiahs among us. We can welcome and honor their contributions to the life and leadership of the church. Our words can encourage them. Our disapproving looks can discourage them. The ways we include or not the children and youth will speak louder than any words we could ever say. Because you see, our children and youth, they are part of today's church. They're not the church of the future. They're today's church. And so I want the youth and children here today to walk away from this service knowing this. And maybe they're listening. I hope they're listening. Nudge them just a little bit because this is just for them. I want them to know that you, children and youth, are valuable and cherished by God for service in the kingdom of God. You are cherished as much as anyone else. And one reason you know that without a shadow of a doubt is because the Bible tells you through the story of Jeremiah, for one, through the prophet Jeremiah, because he was only 12. Thanks be to God.